Hello, humans, and welcome.
Aye-ya!
God, welcome to the 30th episode.
You should honestly probably redo the intro because I think it just blew out everybody's earphones.
We're going to go. We're keeping going. Okay, cool. This is the 30th episode of Audio Face.
The award show!
And this is the Audio Face Awards.
Award show. Like Boondocks. The band episode.
I am Dan from the internet.
I am Sean from the triathlon.
We'll work on your brand next year. That'll be a New Year's resolution.
I hate New Year's resolution. I want to leave my house now since you said that.
This is a fun episode. This is the Audio Face Awards.
I'm also losing my mind, so I'm
brought to you by ibuprofen because Sean's got a sore throat, but he's still doing.
I don't have a sore throat. I have an infection that made my throat literally swollen. I don't even know. It's like 8 steps above a normal sore throat. I don't even know what it is.
But still not strep throat.
Somehow.
You're lucky. Strep throat's the worst.
Somehow.
But, so this is the Audio Face Awards show. Here's some programming notes because we, like, totally screwed this around. next week, we're going to be talking about some of the albums that we missed in December, as well as Phantom Thread and some other music, film soundtracks.
Yeah.
Specifically because we're recording this on a Sunday for once. It's going to go up later today, and we're going to see Phantom Thread tonight.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so we're going to be having that then. This is going to be the Audio Face Awards. We're going to be talking about music news and music culture and the best music of the year, really. How we did this was we took the Grammy nominations and improved them.
And then added our own little flair, as you will see, the very beginning award.
Yeah, this episode is for the fans of Audio Face out there. Thank you for starting to listen.
Stop listening. 22 of you.
All savage 22 of you.
Now, all 20 of you.
Yeah. So, yeah, we have a bunch of different categories, but you know, we like to start light. And so, our first award is the Best Trap Noise. This goes to the Best Onomatopoeia Sound from Trap in 2017.
This is a fun list.
Jesus
so,
Christ. Sean, take the wheel.
I love how you're having me take the wheel. So, you have The Undisrespectful.
What song was that? Or what album?
On, Jesus Christ, Without Warning, from 21.
Right.
Young, 21 Savage.
From Offset, Metro Boomin, and 21 Savage.
Jesus, rap collaborations. It's at 1 minute 43 seconds, it's a little bird noise. And it just goes, just randomly out of the album. I remember listening to this, and I go, holy God, what is this? And I just started laughing my ass off because it's the best trap noise ever. And then you have your, you know, your normal skirt. That's right,
that's from Tyga.
That's on Tyga doing the skirt
from Tequila Kisses.
I don't have a timestamp on that because don't listen to that song. But yeah, that's a good one. And then that's it.
Basically, every single song that did If Young Metro Don't Trust You, I'm Gonna Shoot You.
Any Metro Boomin song that has that in there for the past 8 years, you still have it in 2017, gets a nomination.
Gets a nomination.
But nobody beats the bird noise. No, nobody beats Disrespectful. That's original. It's different.
It's different.
You hear your skirt. Rawr.
21.
But you haven't heard a bird, so yeah. I'm giving that to you. Good job.
You know what? This year, I learned to have a new relationship with our avian friends, with birds. And it's been a mixed relationship, but, you know, it's very nice that it's finally getting its say in rap.
I like it.
All right. Next is Best New Artist. And the nominations for that we came up with were Khaled, Julia Michaels, SZA, 21 Savage. And I thought you were going to put the 1975 on.
I guess I can. You can put that there. So, full disclaimer, I know they've been around for a little bit, but it's artists that we started listening to this year.
The Best New Artist category is, like you said, part of it's from the Grammys list. Khaled, Julia Michaels, and SZA were included on this. To become a new artist, it's weird because, of course, like, some of these artists were active beforehand, but you have to have come out with your first studio album or, like, one of your big, you have to have had your big break this year, essentially. You've had to have, like, really gone into the mainstream. I can justify that for all of these artists.
Yeah, pretty much, because 1975, somebody else got big, like, tail end of last year and really big this year.
Yeah.
And that's when I started listening to them. Heavy was this year, so. And then 21, too, because he is, actual albums came out this year. He had EPs and other shit come out last year or something. But his studio albums, Issa and Without Warning, were this year.
Yeah. So Without Warning, let's be careful not to call that a 21 Savage album, because it definitely wasn't. It was That's true. It was one of those... And we could talk about this in the next episode, but the rise and hopefully fall of the trap collab.
Please, Jesus. But this is an award show, so we're stuck up political.
Like, even... I mean, it's not political, I don't think. But what came out this week, it was...
Goose.
No, it wasn't Goose. There was another collaboration, like a big one, that we might even talk about.
Quality Control? Because they had a giant collab.
But there were a bunch of different, like, trap collabs. But anyways, yeah. So that's why you mentioned 1975. 21 Savage, I have to admit, in episode 7 of Body and Face, we had the opportunity to review Issa album as it came out, but I had my own personal biases, and I was like, I don't care that 21 Savage is making an album. I was coming off of a pretty fire... No, that wasn't even the Hot Take Island, in which I just got really angry with DJ Khaled. Because that was, like, probably my most angry episode of the year, when I was, like, ranting about DJ Khaled, especially because I had just seen him fail at EDC and then try to spin that as a not fail, like, try to trump that.
That was so bad.
You know what? Just for that, I'm making a late addition to the Noted Little Bitch Award. DJ Khaled is on there, so that's coming up later. Of course we're doing that. SZA, though, was another, like, welcome addition to that.
Damn, that was good. I like that.
Yeah, it was... I mean, there's some people who are complaining, like, I don't like her voice, it sounds weird. But I really don't.
All right, so...
care. But then we also gotta mention, there's Julia Michaels, who I didn't really listen to too much. Also the same as Khaled, I didn't listen to too much. But those are both really prolific singers that really got their break this year. I mean, Khaled's... I want to say, yes, Khaled's debut single was certified platinum, reached 16 on Billboard Hot 100.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, her Julia Michaels' debut single was peaked at number 11 and was certified triple platinum.
Mm-hmm.
and so these are artists that are on our radar. We'll definitely pay attention to them more. But for this year, I would say my favorite new artist is SZA.
And honestly, I'm going to have to agree with you, honestly. Like... that was really good. It came out of nowhere, and I didn't know, like, I heard nothing about it. Because all the other artists, I heard something a little bit from before. But SZA was like, you wanted to mention her a while ago, I go, I don't even, what?
She had been, and this is kind of the issue with the way mainstream music's kind of put together. SZA had, I think, suffered from being typecast a little bit early in her career.
Yeah.
As, like, a specifically, like, black artist, or a specific, like, R&B artist. And it's not that. It's just that she is an artist who is kind of tackling, like, millennial woman of colorhood in, like, kind of the most fascinating way, I think, of the year. And so her album Control just really blew up, was a really good first thing, and I expect her to, like, continue to do well in the future. It was absolutely great for showing that she did.
So, the mainstream award, Best Pop, Best Overplayed Song.
So, for this, here on Audio Face, we aren't the best fans of pop music, but that's not to say we hate pop music. We just try to find songs and artists that either we talk about songs and artists that aren't talked about often, or we give a different spin to them. That being said, game recognized game, and so we have to talk about our favorite overplayed songs of the year. So that's this category. Want to read the nominations?
So you have Feel It Still.
Nice. Let me read the nominate now. Go ahead.
Portugal The Man. You have Bank Account. 21 Savage. Mask Off from Future. And Feels, Calvin Harris.
Right. So those were our four.
Those are the ones that whenever I listen to the radio, which is very rare now, unless it's MBE, but MBE doesn't count.
Right.
I guess this is shit I would hear.
Yeah, so of all the overplayed, there are many overplayed songs that are just hot garbage. That's something we can, like, say, like, without any dispute. But, these were the songs that, even though they were overplayed, it felt like these deserved it.
As yeah, 100%.
They had the production, they had, like, the style, they were just catchy, and ultimately worked out. I think, I mean, my opinion, or do you want to talk about it first before I, like, kind of give my decision, or?
No, that's fine.
I feel the need to kind of beck this one and give it to Portugal the Man, because all the other songs we picked on Best Pop and everything else that was picked on Billboard is kind of like what you would expect. The artists coming from the genres that are most popular this year got really popular songs. Feels by Calvin Harris is a bit different. It's more electronic than most of what was really recognized this year. And that even that album, Funk Wave Bounces Volume 1, that Feels came from, was different sounding. It tried a lot of different things with electronic music. Mask Off and Future and 21 Savage, both of their songs come from this, like, rising tide of trap that's happening in rap. And so, of course, some of the best songs of those genres are going to be, like, good pop songs. And they're songs I absolutely love. But for me, to have, like, an alternative, almost, like, new take on hippie 60s, 80s, like, rock song, and it, like, penetrating the charts as high as it did, that's amazing. That's very hard to do. Especially being a Gorillaz fan. I remember when music was really starting to get bad. And then Feel Good Inc. and back in 2006, like, all of a sudden became a hit in America. Yeah. And it was overplayed everywhere. But I was like, this song's got rap. It's got, like, alternative. It's got, like, soul in it. It's so much put together in a pop song. And it's so different from what the rest of pop was that year. And so for that same reason, I want to give Portugal the Man the award.
Question.
Go ahead.
I just thought, I don't know when, shit, I wanted to, like, just add something to that award, if that's possible.
I mean,
because I don't know, talking. Because here, somebody else from the 1975 is overplayed, especially on alternative and rock stations, heavy this year. I'm trying to check, I want to actually look this up. When
it came out?
Like, well, I know it came out last year, but, like, when it really got big on radio.
Well,
like, because I didn't hear it much last year at all.
Right.
Because it came out.
But it depends. Do you want to base this off of what was popular on radio? Or, like, because if that song was, like, came out in a 2016 album, per se, but it got really big on radio in 2017, I don't care. Throw it in. I don't care. So, given that we're throwing in somebody else by 1975, What do you feel about the mainstream award and all these songs?
Because it's what, and I was thinking about, it's what I heard in the radio a lot this year.
Yeah. So, and we can't argue that you didn't hear it a lot in 2017.
And I didn't hear it almost at all last year. Because I remember last year, the tail end of the year, you would hear it like once. I'd be like, oh, whoa, it's on.
Right.
And then this year, just like blew up.
Okay, we can justify that.
So that's what I'm like,
go ahead. So this year, given that, I want your opinion for mainstream award.
Fuck. It honestly goes between that for somebody else or Bank Account. I don't know which one now. Because they're both really good.
Explain your logic behind both.
So, Bank Account, just because it's actually a really dope trap song, and I hate trap usually, like with a burning passion. But it's a good song, the music video and everything that came out for it. I'm like, okay, he's like trying to put a little spin on it, like Vince Staples spin on trap, like saying, hey, it's not all super serious and everything. So that's why I like it. It's a mainstream song, but it has like some kind of hidden meanings in it, you know. And Somebody Else is just a fucking good song. Like, I can literally just play it back and back, like, go over and over. Just
repeat
and over.
One.
Yeah,
just that's a repeat one song.
It really is, because it just doesn't get old. I'll hear it, I'm like, oh, it's on.
So between the two for you, Bank Account and Somebody Else, what are you going with?
I'll go Somebody Else, even though it's like, album came out last year, but really got hit in 2017.
Right.
And it's, yeah. I want to give him an award. Because, like,
they deserve that.
They deserve it. Like, asterisk, but it's my podcast, our podcast.
Yes.
My version of Radiohead, Audio Face.
You get to do this.
I get to do this. I'm a dictator, damn it. Ho Chi Minh's a freedom fighter. I am too.
And if that was fun for you, we have a most woke award, so
let's get to that. Idea how crazy this is going. Anyways.
You've established your legitimacy song. Sean, thank you. Exactly. Best electronic.
If we want to put this in the asterisk, are all of these albums or no? Because Existential Crisis, I realize, isn't an album. It's an EP, technically.
It's fine.
With EDM, it's hard because, and we were talking about this of like
as we were making
how do we make this, because a lot of the electronic music I listen to is just SoundCloud mixes that you just can't put
up. Yeah,
it's like Scream put, my favorite DJ, he put up the August mix, July mix, and this and that, and I'm like, that's not an album technically, but it's 2 hours of just mixing that he did. I'm like, and that's amazing. None of it, I mean, he'll put in some of his songs every once in a while, but it's like his mixes, and like,
right,
it's such a weird category. What do you want to put it as
for this, for electronic music more than anything, and for this episode we did like kind of break rules in the sense that we looked at a lot of other publications and their awards list, and less to like really see like, oh, they picked this, so Reese should, but I don't want to like miss anything. And all of the, I won't name the exact publications, but many of the many of the best electronic awards were albums I had never heard of from artists I had never heard of, and I listen to a lot of electronic music.
Yeah,
I listen to like festival electronic music, random. So I know what's in. And so I actually had to go to Your EDM to get like something similar to like, okay, these things I've heard and know of. But also to what you're saying, Sean, is that the way the electronic music genre is packaged is like means that a lot of best picks are going to end up being EPs. And a lot of best picks are going to end up being albums. And so I tried to keep it to albums for this. I'll let Feed Me slip in, because if we were doing EPs, I would definitely give an honorable mention to Rez's EP, for sure. But that's why I included in honorable mentions.
Okay.
But... fuck it's it. Here now.
So, anyways, right? So we have Calvin Harris, Funk Wave Bounces,
Kolsch, Volume 1.
Volume 1, fuck off. Kolsch, 1989, Feed Me, Existential Crisis, asterisk. Miramessa.
So, self titled album.
Miramessa.
And Illenium's
Awake. Illenium.
Awake.
I was going to say in German, but I realized that we have like 3 people that listen in German.
Slight. So shout out to them.
Shout out to them.
Okay, so for best elect, do you want to go first for this? I went first last time.
Yeah, I'm going to go with my boy Kolsch, honestly. 1989, I don't know if I actually, I don't remember if I even put it on the podcast. I don't remember if it
did. I don't think we did.
It's a damn good album. It's really, really good.
Tell Kolsch, me a little bit about the album and then why you picked it.
So Kolsch had like 3 albums that he made. Hold on, let me look. Because there's 1977.
Did he just name them after years?
I'm gonna get into that.
All right.
Like, let me look what the fuck. So we have 1977, 1983, and then 1989. So what it is are 3 albums that go along into his life. So 1977 when he's a child, 83 when he's a teenager, 89 when he's a young adult and everything. So with that, it puts him into, he made a sound that what he was feeling at the time. 1989 was like, I guess, a harder year and everything, so he went through a lot, and you can kind of hear that in the music that he put into it.
Right.
And I really liked it. It's very chill, it's light, it's not corny, no drops, nothing, it's just pure, wholesome electronic. How it should be. No, I'm joking, but I really, really,
yeah.
That's my, I mean, listen to it. Listen to all 3, honestly.
Do you have opinions on any of the other ones on here?
They're good, pretty much. I mean, I don't have, like, any super hot takes.
Okay.
I'm trying to keep my talking to a minimum, too.
That's also fair.
I would, you know, if it was, if my throat wasn't about to, like, punch me in the face, I would, this would be, like, a 3-hour podcast.
Right.
But, unfortunately.
This was, for me, it was between Calvin Harris, Miramessa, and Illenium.
Yeah.
Illenium is like an amazing breakout artist for EDM, in addition to Rez, who I didn't get to talk about as much as I would have liked to on this year, and that's something I definitely want to do next year, is give electronic music more of its due. Because
it's really, we honestly should just make like their own categories too next year, but where it's like we don't need a certain album, maybe we could do mixes and other things, because a lot of it, like what I listen to, they don't have their own Spotify or like they don't have like.
Yeah.
Their own established thing. It's
the different. Genre is just, it doesn't get packaged the same way as all the other genres do.
Not at all.
That being said, I am giving, in the spirit of Audioface, I'm giving Best Electronic to Funk Wave Bounces, Volume 1, because it is the most different. That's the main reason.
Yeah.
Miramessa's album, Miramessa had some great work come out before this year. That was also, like, really catchy and good. His new album's just, like, kind of the same as that. Illenium's Awake, it's amazing for the EDM genre, but I think a lot of what nerfed EDM this year was just the same build-up, drop, cycle and loop thing.
Yeah.
And Awake is the best of that, but it's still kind of there. Funk Wave Bounces, just, it blended different genres. It went for different sounds and styles. It was a little bit collaborator heavy, but as far as electronic and what it does and what it goes to, you might even have a hard time calling it like a pure electronic album. But
yeah, it's the borderline, but
this is Audioface. We reward being different and executing that well. And so it would
it's
be
our damn not- show. Yeah. If you hate it, leave. No, listen.
If you love it, that's why you're here.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, no, stay, because we need sponsors.
Right, but Calvin Harris Funk Wave Bounces for me. Let's have some fun.
Drum roll.
The Noted Little Bitch Awards. So this was created in the spirit of Audioface, as we found artists who, as a prominent musician or like any famous person, you have like, your life should be like rubber and glue. It doesn't matter, sticks on you, all that stuff. Like, you're a celebrity, you're on top of the world, you shouldn't be getting hit and getting like annoyed by tiny little things. And if you do and you fail miserably, you get the Noted Little Bitch Award. So, drop that mouse, gotta get on young trackpad life.
I hate my trackpad.
I love recording live in Mochi Industries, because I get to like look at all of Sean's little like fidgeting thing and actually see it in real time, as opposed to just doing it over the phone.
It's a nightmare.
But Ed Sheeran won it's nominated for the look. No winners here. Well, they're all losers. Anyways, Ed Sheeran was nominated because he quit Twitter. And if you're a white man and you quit Twitter in 2017, you're a little bitch. Wynn Butler did the same thing, but Wynn Butler also, in leading the Arcade Fire, just did this crazy, stupid campaign, like this fake news campaign, selling everything now on USB fidget spinners, like trying to make. It was a. Everything.
Forgot about that.
Wynn Butler's and Arcade Fire's failed marketing and their failed explanation for it got him a Little Bitch Award. And it sucks because the idea of everything now was like really cool, like the concept. Mm-hmm. And I thought it could be like the most zeitgeisty album of 2017, because it perfectly captures this idea of being obsessed with technology and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Nope, total failure. Both the Chainsmokers, just because, obviously. Greg Gutfeld gets another Little Bitch Award because of the wicked teardown Sean and I did of his anti-Radiohead shtick.
They
tried to
get
like three more viewers on his like shitty Fox News show. And then DJ Khaled for pulling the Donald Trump
bitch.
Fake news bit for denying getting booed off stage at EDC, Insomniac, saying that there were no haters and that everyone loved him. Just like, I can't do this Trump shit anymore. Like, let Trump be Trump, but like, if you're going to say it's everyone's fault but yours, and that's what I mean by using Trump as a verb, keep that the fuck out of music, and don't do that where artists have no political allegiance, I mean, fans have no political allegiances, and they can just call your shit out.
It's wrong.
Sean, what, who's
it's Wynn Butler. It's Wynn Butler. The whole year we've been calling it the Wynn Butler Noted Little Bitch Award. Ed Sheeran's pretty close, because he's a little bit. It's like neck and neck.
Ed Sheeran quit Twitter let's keep in mind, he got to star in Game of Thrones, and then quit Twitter afterwards.
Yeah, no, I honestly do not like Ed Sheeran much, at all. Like, he's a little bitch. But Wynn Butler takes the award, because if you put yourself on a fidget spinner, you need to, like, think.
Alive yourself.
You need to go home and rethink your life. Like, I totally forgot about the whole marketing campaign. When you brought that back, I'm like, it's the Wynn Butler Award. I'm sorry. I want to call it the Wynn Butler Award.
Right.
That's what it is. Rest of eternity is the Wynn Butler Noted Little Bitch Award. Because it is rough. I'm sorry. I do like your music. I will give you that. I was disappointed as hell with your album. It was good, but your marketing made it bad. And if you screw it up that much, you're a Noted Little Bitch.
Yeah. We can talk more about Arcade Fire later. But
we probably will.
So let's go into Best Alternative.
Oh, so what's yours?
Oh, for mine. Yeah, Noted Little Bitch. Thanks for reminding me. Honestly, DJ Khaled.
I thought you could say that.
Ed Sheeran was winning it for a year, because I just love saying Noted Little Bitch Ed Sheeran. It just rolls off the tongue.
He rolls
off
the tongue.
Wynn Butler is a very strong choice. I agree with you, Sean. I'd love to shine the Chainsmokers, but, like, we're talking about them more than they're even relevant, honestly, so why bother? Greg Gutfeld's, like, punching down for me. And DJ Khaled, No, being someone who was at EDC and then watching the whole fallout for where he flip-flops and doing this Your Great thing, in mm-hmm. addition to releasing that album afterwards, there's like a total starfuck. Like, maybe this is just because my day job is politics, but the spinning thing so it seems like you come out on top when everyone's yeah. against you, and not just accepting that and figuring out, hey, why did people not want to see me at EDC? Et cetera, et cetera. I hate that lack of self-accountability, and I've seen that a lot in my personal life and in 2017 in general. And DJ Khaled represents that. And so, for that, noted little bitch.
Yes.
Best alternative. I can lead that off while you're figuring yourself out. Just know, best alternative albums. Gorillaz, Humans, have to give that the nod. Five by The Horrors, which totally surprised Sean and I. Colors by Beck, long time coming, and then Te Amo by Phoenix. Sean, you want to go?
I just...
Let me continue, I guess.
It's hard because The War on Drugs is really strange because they're like alternative rock, but I put them in best rock because they're like they're in between the two, if that makes any sense.
I'd put War on Drugs as rock.
Personally. Yeah, I mean, they're like, okay.
Because there are times in which I can see some of the other rock nominees being alternative, but...
Yeah, exactly.
But I think, like, alternative branched off from rock to become its own genre. Really so there's going to be a lot of roots.
Yeah, okay, but
at
okay.
this point, alternative is very different from what rock used to be. And rock is changing so that it's more like alternative, but, like, the ones we have nominated are, like, still clearly rock.
Okay, okay, yeah. So, yeah, Gorilla, you already mentioned it. So, yeah. Gorilla's Horrors, Beck, Phoenix.
What's your
Mine
take?
Is Phoenix. Te Amo.
Por qué?
Por qué?
No pun intended at all. Trust me.
Honestly, it for a true and true alternative, I guess you could say that, it hits like everything I want on an alternative rock album. Every song on that album is good. So I'm a J-boy going through the telephone out. It's just every song is good. There's only a couple that really stand out. Like Role Model, Tutti Frutti. Like, those are my top tracks from it, but it's nothing, like, super spectacular, but it gets everything done. Like, if you want a true alternative, there you go.
Yeah, this is an album show, so if we're reviewing albums, it needs to play well as a full
exactly.
album.
Exactly. And for me, for alternative, it's the best. Like, that's it. And it's, I mean, granted, one of my favorite albums of the year. But, yeah, for you know, true and true alternative, boom, that's it, done.
I respect that. Best alternative this year is hard for me. Because it's full of alternatives, like probably one of my favorite genres in music. And this year saw a lot of my favorite artists, including Gorillaz, my favorite band, make albums this year. But there's no way in hell I can decently give Humans the best award.
Mm-mm.
Just because...
We had so many painters that...
Yeah, like Damon... I think it's possible that Humans even came out before we were reviewing albums that much. But I don't even know if I said anything on the show about it then, but we've said a lot about it since then. And the issue with Humans is that Damon Albarn took the collaborative nature of Gorillaz and took it too far. Too many of the songs feel slapped together, and while there are certain gems on that album, like absolutely great songs that I love playing, love hearing, I think are great, we're talking about albums. Mm-hmm. And as an album, Humans was just not complete. It was just...
No.
It was... Too many songs.
Scatterbrained.
The concept just, like, wasn't fully fleshed out. And that's why I'm both curious to see what Gorillaz is coming up with next year, but also cautious because they usually take 5-year breaks, but apparently they're not. That being said, The Horrors is my favorite alternative album of this year. Yeah. With Five. When Sean and I came...
That's such a good album.
Sean and I first heard of that album by looking at what albums came out that week, and I was like, hey, you ever heard of The Horrors?
I'm like...
And we had passing knowledge, but...
Yeah.
Blown the fuck away.
Such a good album. I wanted to give it to them, but I'll get back to them later. I don't want to just pile on awards to one artist.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot that The Horrors did right. But for Pure and Pure, I want that. So anyways...
Wait, I just want to say a little bit more with
The Horrors. Oh, yeah, yeah, how about it?
Because, like, personally, like, Point of No Reply was my favorite song of this year. Like, as for me personally,
we,
I can't.
We should probably mention our favorite song.
That's going in my like dance picks thing.
Your dance picks,
but
yeah.
Since we're already here, I want to mention that to underscore it. Like my favorite thing about the Horrors album was that it was genre inspired, not necessarily genre blending, but it took so many things from alternative and experimental and like I can go through every single song and if I listen to it, I can go, this reminds me of Roosevelt, like Something to Remember Me By.
Yeah.
Or Machine, this reminds me of experimental rock. Like every single song gives you a little bit something different, but in a cohesive package. Really hard to do. I was not expecting the Horrors to do it, but they did it. And they did it amazingly.
Yeah, they did damn pretty good.
Yeah, so next, best rock. We've got Villains by Queens of the Stone Age. Foo Fighters. God damn it, Sean.
I forgot. I don't know. I have
you have Google, goddammit.
Literally have it right here. Concrete and Gold.
Concrete and Gold by the Foo Fighters. And Sean, you get to say the last one because.
And The War on Drugs, A Deeper Understanding. Okay. With like an asterisk because the Rock Award is hard because I don't really listen to rock anymore. And rock doesn't exist, I swear, at this point.
Rock like, is dying.
Like, there's only a couple that make true and true rock. So I didn't know where I wanted to put. The War on Drugs, because there's a couple songs on that album that are really rock heavy, and the rest is like, it could be acoustic, and then it could be almost like experimental rock. So I go, okay, I don't know what I want to put this. Fuck it, I'm putting it in there. My podcast. You don't tell me what to do, Academy.
And fuck the Academy. And
fuck the Academy.
I think that's the title of the episode.
Fuck the Academy.
And fuck the Academy.
That really should be. And honestly. Yeah, I'm going with Villains for Queens of the Stone Age.
Same.
I mean...
Unanimous.
It's unanimous.
Let's take out the frontman's latest antics for a little bit and just focus on...
Just like
on
more how, like, I will always love Morrissey, even though he's mental. But that villain... that villain.
The villain.
And a villain had many forms. Villains was a damn good album.
Yeah.
It was like... It brought the best of rock. Basically, in of this year, where it's like, okay, it's dying, but let's see if anyone wants to try it. I mean, we could have put one of the Gallagher's albums on there, but they were just not enough.
I wouldn't.
And I'm like, eh, because and then Foo Fighters was really disappointing. I mean, we'll talk about that more later. And the War on Drugs I liked a lot, but it's not pure wholesome rock.
Yeah,
Villains was one of the only ones that was pure wholesome rock. Them and along with Liam Gallagher were the only ones that were pure wholesome rock, but. Villains was a little different. It was a little different spin. Nothing, like, they tried a little different things, messages, along with how they wrote the songs, and it was good. I really liked it, because I'm still listening to it today. I didn't, like, forget about it at all.
Yeah.
Which is hard to do for rock.
I like that Queens of the Stone Age brought their spin on rock into 2017, and did that in a way that, like, actually worked, because... Yeah, as we've said, and as we've kind of gone on, I don't want to, like, retread old ground too much, but rock in 2017 is very different from what we kind of think of rock as.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, there actually isn't that much rock out there. It's kind of just branched into alternative or just other genres that are slightly rock-inspired, but definitely more of something else. And so, really, Villains was the only album that kind of stuck true to that. It's also a 9-song album. It wasn't too long,
and it wasn't anything that we've heard, like, that is super boxed in.
Yeah. Every song, or at least most of the songs in the album, had their place. There weren't too many that I felt were, like, gratuitous.
Yeah.
And, yeah, they just did the damn thing, and they did it right. So, yeah, there's that. Next, best R&B.
With an asterisk, because R&B is, like...
So
what kind
so
of
with a lot of these categories we found that R&B
we need to do this next. We need to really just literally make our own categories next year.
Yeah. Cuz all these not to get all liberal, but what are labels?
are you going by they now?
My pronouns are now Z-Zem. Now what
you can call me Zed.
But like music changes faster than the labels do. And so, whereas R&B is generally by the mainstream media as, like, the black category, for any black person's music that isn't, like, rap, usually gets typecast as R&B.
Right.
But I put R&B as, like, rhythm and blues, but also good singer focus, or like singer heavy.
Yeah, albums. Yeah, exactly. So let's go with ours.
With that, we did Control by SZA that we mentioned earlier, Melodrama by Lorde, and then The Thrill of It All by Sam Smith.
Yeah, and I like, so we're going to reinvent R&B now by just saying, hey, good singers.
Yeah.
Good singer albums. Yeah. I mean, that's literally what we should like underline it, because R&B doesn't. It's like so blunt because people are like rap and R&B, hip hop R&B. I go, what?
Yeah, people mix R&B and hip hop together.
I'm like, no, it's totally separate.
Yeah.
And there's okay. Anyways,
that being said, we're explaining ourselves. So, what's your pick of these?
I have to go through The Thrill of It All by Sam Smith. Fucking good album. The whole thing was like, I was waiting for it all year. Yeah, basically when he announced it, and you know when we reviewed his singles, I'm like, I'm just waiting for that album to drop early November, and it kept up to everything I wanted it to be. Basically, I mean, the songs all had purpose. He tried to change it a little bit, added more people on it, didn't do the rap collab, but added backing vocals, the more instrumentation and everything. So it was really different. And into like R&B, it's like, I guess you could put it into that category of rhythm and blues. So, you know what? Fuck it. Yeah. My podcast, fuck the Academy.
Given the rhythm and
blues. Literally, that's the theme of this episode.
Given that rhythm and blues are very...
It's like, what do you... Like, it's just so broad.
Rhythm and blues hasn't made sense as a category since the 90s. Early 90s.
Honestly, really.
Yeah,
but... Which Sade is like queen R&B.
Right?
Sade.
I'm gonna have to buck Sean on here. I'm going with Melodrama.
Oh, I know you. I knew you were going Lorde because you love that album.
Yeah.
That's your shit.
Yeah, it was... I mean... And Sam Smith and Lorde, like Disclosure Gang, right? Mm-hmm. Of course they're killing it this year, but...
Right?
Both... Sam Smith and Lorde and SZA's album gave me goosebumps. I will say Lorde and Sam Smith's a bit more, but I like the instrumentation of SZA's album. And that's not to discount SZA. We already talked about how much we liked her earlier. But with Melodrama, it just... My complaint with the Sam Smith album ultimately lied down to instrumentation, but I said that it's understandable given that's a singer-songwriter.
And that's what I liked about it.
Yeah. I liked that Lorde has that powerful voice, and the instrumentation is on point as well. The instrumentation is there to match, and, like, at that point, yeah, you're as good as Sam Smith, except you got your instrumentation down, so yeah, I'm giving you the award.
I got you. So, now, the Sean William, as my middle name, the Sean William Award for doing something fucking different.
Yes.
What have I been on a crusade, shouldn't use that word, about this entire year?
Everything sounds the fucking same.
Everything sounds the same. Trap sounds the same.
Trap snare.
The stupid trap snare. And so on turn.
Too much electronic.
Like, too much electronic. The drops. Guitar sound the same. Drops in EDM. I was about to say something I shouldn't say. And the Alive Yourself. Just people change your stuff. So. Boosh. Here's my awards.
Nominations.
My nominations. The Horrors. Vince Staples. Young Long Beach City Revan. Bjork. That's how you say it. Damn it, not Bjork. Bjork. Get it right, people. Noel Gallagher's High Flying Bird Circus English Fuckface. Whatever. Phoenix, also known as Phoenix, and Kygo, also known as Kygo.
For the record,
my award.
I'll concede Bjork. I will not give you Phoenix and Kygo. As far as pronunciations.
No, obviously. It's the Sean William Award, so he uses Seanese to say these people's names.
Fine. Would you like to go first as well? I can...
You go first, because I really don't know who to say.
Right. I already have my pick, but, I mean, I'll give Sean's explanation. On the one hand, this is my bias clearly showing. On the other hand, fuck it, my show. Fuck it, my network.
He has your network.
Kygo. Because...
All right. Well, this goes
back to my thing that electronic music is in an awkward phase right now, where it kind of can't figure out what it wants to be. And... Kygo is one of the artists, along with, to an extent, Calvin Harris, who is branching out. It's like Kygo is doing for electronic music what I believe some of the early rock alternative artists were doing for rock. Like, branching out what actually gets to be called electronic music. Bringing in what works with other genres to better and move forward the genre itself. And while Calvin Harris is doing like a side project to kind of push that forward, that's kind of been Kygo's whole thing ever since last year when he reinvented himself as like a more tropical house inspired pop DJ as opposed to the usual like dropping. I need to come up with like a rhyme for that. But as best as I can say for absolute idiot, I'll get your mouse. As best as I can say for an award that's literally named after Sean, I'm giving Kygo the award for the Sean William Award for doing something fucking different in 2017.
Right. So, I figured it out. It's gonna be the horrors. It's because that's my bread and butter is alternative music. I love it so much. And I was just on a roll of everybody was just literally blending together. Like the worst one was Foster the People. I go, holy shit, what did you do? That is so rough. The Horse came out, and this is the album. I go, oh my god, this is what alternative music can now be. If you do the electronic part right, and you don't put the stupid trap snare into it, boom, you've got it. And that's what they did. Vince Staples was very close, but I'll talk about him in like 2 minutes. Horrors is just brilliant. Like, they really, really did a good job with that album. I almost wanted to give him Best Alternative of the Year, but it's my podcast.
You don't have to apologize for your decisions.
And yeah, so that, I mean, that's, they truly did something different with alternative music, finally. And it's brilliant. And I want more people to do that. And so that's the award named after my rants.
I will do like a kind of conclusion thing later, but I do want to say that like a lot of what we've done on the show is talk about artists doing things different. And we've talked about a lot of artists who do things different and miss the mark.
Oh, yeah.
But we'll still be happy that at least you're doing something different. Mm-hmm. And that's something we want to like encourage more artists to do with the influence, with the massive influence that we have. Like, take risks, see what works and what doesn't, fall a little bit, but like get up and make yourself better.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that's all about. Best rap album, my wheelhouse, we're back.
So you didn't put any trap in here?
I didn't. Would you want me to talk about that?
Sure.
So, best rap album.
Well, give the list and then why that's your list.
444 by Jay-Z. Damn, Kendrick Lamar. At What Cost by Goldlink. Run the Jewels 3, naturally. And then Vince Staples' Big Fish Theory.
Which I have.
The reason I didn't put trap in here is twofold. A, this 2017 is the year I personally kind of started taking seriously trap and starting to separate some of the good artists from the mumble rappers.
Yeah.
And
Tom York, the original mumble rapper.
from Bam, the We Made It podcast, right?
Right.
But I think trap is in its infancy right now. And I think it's like kind of not in its infancy, because
It's been
around for a while, but it's in its adolescence.
Yes, yeah.
That's a better thing. Where, like, I think this is really, like, the ugly part of trap, where we're...
It's trying to figure out how many people to be in it and what sounds to do.
Like, how to figure out... I mean...
The collabs, all of the mess, like, where it needs to go. Okay,
basically,
I get what you mean.
Yeah, right. It's just... You were... the tide has turned. You worded that better than I could. Is that the genre needs to figure out what are its mechanics, what are its dynamics, what do we do different? Because right now, a lot of it's blending together, and even the best trap artists of the year, and the best trap albums of the year, are just slight variations on the same annoying thing.
Yep.
100%. So because of that, like, I'm gonna watch out for trap in 2018. I think there's gonna be some interesting stuff coming from it, but, like, I... Not album of the year category. So best rap album for me. Whew, this is hard. You want to go?
Already know. 100% done. Okay,
well, you're you. So go ahead.
You're you. I gotta do Long Beach Reppin'. Big Fish Theory. Fuck, what an album. I don't really don't like rap. I can, but it has to be something, you know, different. And with Big Fish Theory, Vince Staples just didn't give a shit. He just went on a tangent, just like, I'm calling it how it is. I'm calling out everybody in the song, yeah, right? Which even featured Kendrick Lamar. We should give Kendrick Lamar an award fuck, I can't speak. An award for just appearing on like everybody's albums.
The Kendrick Lamar award for being everywhere at once.
Serious. I'm like, dude, can you breathe? I don't think Kendrick Lamar sleeps. Probably just takes Adderall like 24/7.
Right.
Allegedly. Anyways, Big Fish Theory. Damn, what an album. When I listened to it, because I knew North North and Blue Suede before, and those were the only real songs I knew. And then when Vince featured on the Gorillaz album, I go, all right, cool. But this whole album, I go, you're dropping bars on every song. You rap about the 22 bus stop, which is like three blocks away from me.
Deep State Long Beach.
Deep State Long Beach, talking about how the deep state runs the world and how every trap artist is a little fake piece of shit and this and that.
It's not exactly what he says, but he comes pretty close.
Well, he comes very close, putting words in his mouth, but he would probably agree with me. And being a straight-edge rapper.
Yeah.
Which is rare these days. Yeah, I mean, that's my pick. That album is so good.
Right.
And we saw him live, too, and I'm like, all
right. Yeah, we saw him live right before Gorillaz, which is great. I'm gonna narrow it down, okay? Run the Jewels 3.
Yeah.
I think
Run the Jewels is pretty good.
Everyone loves Run the Jewels, but I don't think they've gotten like the mainstream kind of credit that they deserve. And like they're kind of getting mainstream, they're kind of getting there. But you gotta realize, the original Run the Jewels was just like two artists going, let's just screw around,
yeah,
and right? make an album. And, like Run the Jewels is a rap duo that's kind of made in the spirit of audio phase. It's just like, let's see what happens. Screw it. Let's just do what we want and see if it's good or not, and let's see if people like it. And it was successful. I didn't like Run the Jewels 2 that much. Felt like it lost kind of that mission in trying to be something. But I think Run the Jewels 3 was the perfect mix of they kind of did what they wanted to. Killer Mike and LP just being super good, super talented. As an album, the songs in there were really good. Very little of it felt like too much. But yeah, that was good. But I don't think I can give that the award. But it's got to be nominated for sure.
Yeah.
Let me get through 444. No, I'm not giving it the award, but I think I'm not giving it the award because as an album, there was just a lot that was not necessary. As a work, it's not like Jay-Z really improved lyrically, but his subject matter and how much of a 180 he is and how grown he became as a person, along with the like juggernaut that Jay-Z releasing an album is, I have to give props to that. At What Cost by Goldlink. Is actually my winner. Believe it or not. I'll figure out why you're laughing, but
no, yeah, no, no. Just the next thing, which is best bars, I just realized, oh my god. Anyways, keep going.
Sorry. All right.
I'll explain in a second.
So I'm giving Goldlink best rap album because Spirit of Audio Face, I'm doing something different. A lot of people are gonna give Kendrick Damn's a good album, and yeah, I think it's a good album too, but I don't think it's his best. You already give Vince Staples his due, and we'll probably give Vince Staples his due more too. But
yeah.
I think what Goldlink did was try to blend elements of Southern rap with elements of mainstream rap and still do it in his own way.
Yeah.
And it has passion, it has feeling, it has Goldlink's, like, as a rapper, he's distinct and unique. I was really happy that Crew started being played everywhere. It even got a platinum award, and he's a newer artist. This isn't his first album by any means, but like it's a really big mainstream one. I think he's only gonna go up from here, and like out of everyone else, Jay-Z, heard him before. Ken, heard him before. Run the Jewels, heard him before. Vince Staples, heard him before, but like that's a really strong album. But I might even make that my second. But for me, At What Cost is number one.
I'll give that to you.
As for the same reason I gave Kygo an award, the same reason I gave Horrors an award, you were the best at what you did, and you pushed it somewhere.
Yeah.
That's what is a lot for me.
I like that. Best bars.
Best bars.
I don't even know why we have Future on here, because I just realized more of... fuck it, I don't care. Best bars is Vince Staples' Bag Back. The entire song. I just realized something more. This entire thing.
How about this? I'm gonna read each verse, and then you just react to it. Because let's be honest, we don't want to hear Sean rap. Okay. This is for my future baby mama. Hope your skin is black as midnight. I'll take you in a Honda. I could put you in a Benz. I could balance out your chakras. Fornication is a sin. I'll stop there.
That's the beginning of the song. That's the intro of the song.
Okay.
We can go ahead. Are you literally going to rap the whole song?
Well,
because the best part is boyum boyum.
Okay.
that paragraph.
Yeah. Okay. So here's verse two. Boy, I'm buoyant, we are floating on those peons. Go until take them. Until they take my bronum out in CDCRs. Prison system broken, racial war commotion. Until the president get ashy, Vincent won't be voting. We need Tamiquas and Shaniquas in that Oval Office. Obama ain't enough for me, we only getting started. The next Bill Gates gonna be on Section 8 up in the projects. So till they love my dark skin, bitch, I'm going all in.
CDCRs. CDCRs, California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation. I'm like, CDC, I'm like, is he talking about prisons?
No, he's talking about...
And I'm like, that's what a CDCR is, right? That's a holy shit, that's just that paragraph right there. Gets like 7 awards. That's ridiculous.
If I can...
Prison system broken, racial war commotion. Like, Obama ain't enough for me, and then the best thing... The next Bill Gates can be on Section 8 up in the project.
You were... Like, that just became, like, one of your mantras of this year, randomly.
It really is, because it's... holy shit. Because he came from, the rough area of Long Beach. Like, I know that area.
North, yeah. I live in that area of Long Beach, used to.
That was rough as fuck. It's bad.
I personally know one of my neighbors who was shot in Long Beach.
It's a bad area.
Yeah.
It ain't good. North Long Beach, I think. He's saying, hey... Next Bill Gates can be from here. Like, you don't know. Right. And, like, all of this stuff that's going on politically, I'm like... And he's not one of these fake people that says, oh, I'm Trump, blah, blah, blah. And no, he's like, I'm in here, bitch.
Like, he's saying Obama's not enough
for me. Obama ain't enough for me because he's
only... This is no neoliberal rapper.
I think, literally, one of his quotes I found a while ago was, like, something neoliberalism about Obama, and I wanted to cry. I swear to God something I'll know that. But I know it was because it was about back. And I go, right. Holy crap, you know everything, and that's it.
I would definitely love to see that, but...
We don't have enough time. I gotta find that. It was like a random interview I heard sometime like July.
Can I just say verse 3 really fast? Clap your hands if the police ever profiled. You ain't gotta worry, don't be scary, because we on now. Ain't no gentrifying us, we finna buy the whole town. Tell the 1% to suck a dick, because we on now.
That's it.
There we go. That's... Wow.
To be that future mask off just because he said my guillotine drank more with this thing. But I'm sorry, back.
It's my guillotine.
The entire song is just holy hell. Because this is what rap used to be. You know, gangster rap back in the day was like really talking about, hey, this is what's going on.
Rap's roots were social commentary about the streets.
It's like, you're about to witness the strength of street knowledge. Like, that's how it was. Now it's just like partying, this or that, and then you have a bunch of fake
scissor.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, 21. Nah,
21. Nah, 21. And it's like, it's fun, it's goofy, but like, yeah, you're really right about that. It was that the origins of rap was like street poetry.
And that's what it is right there. And I go, holy hell, Vince is just on a roll. So that's my boy forever. I want to, like go out not drinking with him because he's on straight edge right there.
I want to get some non-alcoholic beers with Vince Staples and shoot the shit.
I'm down.
Hey,
okay, I want to get Vince Staples to turn vegan, and then he's like,
Hey, I mean, Vince Staples probably in Long Beach quite often. Just go down to Bixby Knowles or something.
Right, I'm down.
Go down to a taco truck, maybe.
Right.
All right. But yeah, I do want to give Future a honorable mention for my guillotine.
Just for my guillotine.
All right, best music video. you want me to take the wheel on this one?
Yeah, you can take the wheel.
All right.
So, I watched all of these, but.
I mean, me, I love visuals as well as content. All right, so The Story of OJ by Jay-Z, Element by Kendrick Lamar, Saturn's Bars by Gorillaz, Hail the Chief by Prophets of Rage, and The Gate by Björk. Because this is an audio podcast and this is a video award, I'll do a bit of a description of each one if I can. Actually, could you describe Björk's The Gate while I...
It's just trippy. It's like... It looks like a planet from Star Wars, honestly. It's just really random, cool visuals. I don't even, like, honestly, I don't even want to try and describe all of them. What we should do is just, like, tell them, honestly, watch them.
Definitely watch them. Describe it in a sentence, because I think it's important to describe, like, why it's... Because I put all these there for a reason. So, the story of OJ, it's like this style of the music video is like a menstrual cartoon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And contrasted with all of the like messages about like black independence and freedom, it's like a very interesting juxtaposition, and it's powerful. Mm-hmm. It's one of those political things where you're being politically incorrect in the right way.
Yeah.
You're doing it to like shake people and like startle people. Not like unnecessarily, but like there's a reason and a purpose behind it. It's a great job. Element, it's just visually beautiful. It's inspired by a photographer from the 60s who did kind of like similar photos of like life in just about to like pre-civil rights era black communities. And a lot of the scenes and Element are taken from that, like mm-hmm. point for point. And it's just like, there's an art exhibition as we're talking right now in New York that shows oh, right. some of these images. Look at those images contrasted with the Element video, and it's amazing. Saturn's Bars is there, not just because of my Gorillaz bias, but because, and not even because, well, it was one of the first VR videos that like really blew up. You could watch the video for Saturn's Bars in virtual reality.
That was so cool. That was my first VR experience ever, and that was so cool.
I watched the video on acid. It was one of the best experiences of my life.
Murdoch's nuts in my face.
But, I mean, Gorillaz have always pushed music and visuals to their extreme. Mm-hmm. And, like, that's something they didn't disappoint on this go-around, is that they did that. Hail to the Chief is more, like, super deluxe, like, content-y description. But because of how, like, it's one of those things, like, it's good and bad. But, like, it's bad in a good way.
It's too woke.
It's
too much. Too much sauce.
Like, the story of OJ is like, and let's put some tapatio right here. Hail to the Chief is just, let's dump the truck of Maradero on the song.
It was just like...
Mike Pence is like the Antichrist. That's where you gotta hit the brakes.
Is controlling everything from the sidelines.
I mean, it's not wrong. All right, best music video. What do you
think? So then, and then, yeah. I don't... Honestly, it goes between Bjork and... The Gate, should I say, from Bjork and the story of OJ. I might give it to the story of OJ, honestly, because I really liked it.
Credit.
Yeah, and that too. Credit. Shout out to Bjork, because that was really cool visuals. It was just gorgeous because of all of the CGI and everything on it. It's like she was in this really weird dreamland thing. It looked like Star yeah. Wars. If
not, super colorful.
Super vivid. Colorful. Like, she was like in this gorgeous dress because she's always avant-garde and everything.
Uh-huh.
Beautiful. But the story of OJ really told a story. Like, right. legit. With the video itself. The video goes along with the music.
And yeah.
It's like... It's honestly kind of weird. When I was listening to the album after watching the video, it's kind of weird listening to the song without watching the video. And, like, they go together.
Yeah.
Randomly got the hiccups right now.
You know, it's really hard for me.
Oh, wow. That really hurt. Ow.
This is so rough. I got some water for you here.
No, all right. It's fine. It's because I don't want to swallow.
Oh, that's so rough. Okay.
Oh God, the next twist. Anyway, sorry.
It's gonna be fun. it's hard for me to pick. I have to look at. I want to say the story of OJ, but because it works really well, but honestly, it didn't really push the boundaries of anything that much. And that's why I'm really awarding things, like, what did you push the boundaries of? And I'm going to have to tie it, honestly, because I'm Damn. Thinking back to my first reaction of watching Saturn's Bars in VR, and my first reaction to seeing the Element video.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is just very pleasing for my eyes. I love watching this. I might give a slight... my own bias to Saturn's Bars, not even just because it's Gorillaz, just because it's a really colorful, funny video. But I like to give it to Element, because honestly, a lot of music videos don't make a lot of sense compared to their songs, and Saturn's Bars barely does. So, I mean, for me, I'm just going to straight tie it.
Cool. All right.
Worst song on Flat Earth.
Earth is flat, guys. We're on a turtle floating in make-believe.
Shout out to the Tarek from the Doesn't Exist podcast.
That's not on the Syndicate 23 network. Holy hell. So we have Boat Skirt from Quality Control / Lil Yachty. Jesus Christ. I'm listening to it right now just because it's unbelievable. Like, it's unbelievably bad. The Goose Man, Gucci Mane, TYT. We thought it'd be cool because, you know, the Young Turks, but it's just rough.
It's not. It stands for Thick Young Thang, I think.
Oh, fucking kill me.
From Elgato, the Human Glacier, which, by the way, you got to have Gucci Mane credit. That album came out 2 days ago, and it's already gotten an award for one of the worst songs.
The OCs. OCS.
On-campus suspension.
On-campus suspension. Red cards. Whatever you want to call
it. Red line.
Whatever,
lunch.
All right? Hey, you got two yellows. Here you go. Red card. You're off the pitch. Whatever you want to call the OCs, everything they made, just because of their name changes.
Not even, well...
And also, their album was fucking garbage.
Yeah.
It was so bad.
It was so bad.
So if somebody took way too much acid in Berkeley in a basement, like in some frat, and like got lost and sat down with a shitty keyboard from 1993 and a Hohner acoustic guitar from 91 and just try to make an album. That's how bad it was.
There's two things I really want to say about what you just said. A, I love your knowledge of musical instruments.
Don't sleep. I'm saying I'm a pianist.
Being the official drug correspondent of Audioface, I have to say that if acid were involved in this, much better music would have come out.
That's very true. I should say
I would compare this to mescaline.
Damn. And then maybe
black tar heroin.
And then Tyga Tequila Kisses, because that's rape.
That song is straight rape.
It also did have Skrrr! It had one of the best noises of but straight rape. But nothing, my award by far is Boat Skirt. I listen to it, I'm like, oh, let me just pop in, like, the Goose. What's the Goose doing?
I don't know why you wanted to listen to a Lil Yachty song at all, but...
It's Quality Control. It's not even Lil Yachty. I don't even know who Quality Control is, but...
Apparently he's bad at his job.
God. I listened to it, and I literally thought a four-year-old made it. Just went, oh, I'm like, just some white dude over in Nebraska.
What are you talking about?
Like, I'm gonna make you on trap. I can do it. It is.
It sounds like a parody of trap music.
It is the worst song I've ever heard in my life because it's not a parody. It's trying to be good. That's the. I literally have it in my ear right now and I want to, like, kill me.
I have to say that while Boat Skirt came really close to being the worst song on Flat Earth of 2017, I'm giving it to Tequila Kisses because at least Boat Skirt made me laugh. The entire time I was watching Tequila Kisses, I was like, this is the official song of rape. As I was listening
really
to
is.
It. Like, it's, especially if you watch the music video, which that's why we did include it. Yeah, it's just really bad. It's just really not... Just really sleep. Really sleep. Let's just pause here. It's worth noting that a lot of trap songs almost made it onto this list. And I think that says a lot about trap, back to what we were talking about, is that there's a lot of potential for the genre, but there's also a lot of garbage. And there's way too much garbage right now.
I can't listen to this.
Just stop listening to it. Stop doing it to yourself.
I'm just like, no, it's literally unbelievable.
Want to roll it to Justin's house next time, please?
Oh my god, yes, I'm doing that. I want to see him laugh. All right.
Let's get this going.
Most
woke of 2017. Vince Staples, the main reason being back, but like, I mean, just pay attention to. There's his interviews. Pitchfork. Pitchfork's title for the Vince Staples interviews was "Vince Staples is the least corny man in America."
Calling out trap artists, rapping about the 22 bus, everything, not drinking alcohol.
And then there's Prophets of Rage, which is a super group that just came on the scene this year. They
calling out Mike Pence pulling the shit.
They just
went full gas.
I mean, they're like, you know what? We're going to make a hard rock album that is very politically aware.
Yep.
And that's why we didn't include it in the rock category, because, like, yeah, it's a hard rock album, but it was trying to be politically aware first, and... That political awareness kind of just fell onto the category of performative wokeness, as I would say.
Yeah.
That's when, like, you know, I don't disagree. I don't think that Prophets of Rage are performative woke in the same way that a couple of other artists we're about to mention are. But there's a time where you can overdo it. And I think the great thing about Vince Staples is that he packs punch into a short, into not a lot of words.
Yeah.
He says what needs to be said without overdoing it. You don't need to create a whole song about police brutality. You just say it in a couple lines.
And Vince wasn't corny about it at all. He just said it from his heart and what he sees in the streets.
Yeah.
And Vince did... Oh, he's my award for most world.
He's mine,
by
too.
Far. Because he literally calls out an entire genre on Yeah Right. Pops up Kendrick on here because Kendrick is like, oh, okay, yeah.
Kendrick to back him up.
Because he's like, Kendrick is like, I think I agree with you, dog. And he's like, you guys are rapping about stuff that doesn't happen. You got, like, you're not about that. There's maybe, like, three people that are about that and, like, get arrested. The rest of you are all fake little bitches. He's like, no. We're, like, I gave my mom an AK because she might get shot. You don't know.
Like, we got bars on the windows for a reason.
Yeah, like they're really running up drugs over here and getting shot all around Cherry Avenue and stuff. You don't know what's going on Artesia. And also, he just put 745.
Artesia.
Yeah, most woke, by far. Now,
The
Coma Award.
Most sleep.
For most sleep. Lana Del Rey, Kill Me. Morrissey. Kid Rock, fuck. Roger Waters. Taylor Swift. Laura Ingraham.
So, let me just say, let me get this out of the way. I put Laura Ingraham here. No, she isn't a musician, but again, this is the Audio Face Awards, so I don't give a shit. So, it's my show. You get this award if you're just direct opposite woke. And there are different ranges to this. You can either be performative woke, in which you realize that you've been, like, really unaware, and then all of a sudden you start talking about, I guess it's important for women to be respected in society, and I guess I should just be real. Like, it's just, these are people who are late to the parade. Counterbalance with the other side of it, which are just people who are just, like, head in the sand. Like, Morrissey got the Coma Award for defending Kevin Spacey.
Yeah.
Like, that was amazing. Kid Rock is doing this, like, performative, like, Trump thing where he's like, oh, maybe I'll run. Maybe I'll say some crazy things and see how that goes. He even said he wasn't going to run for president or anything. But, of course, it was just a lead up to his shitty album that we didn't even bother talking about, thankfully. Got any other takes for this?
Yeah, Lana Del Rey is mine. It was unbelievably... the mantra of 2017 of, oh, I'm gonna make political album because Trump got elected, or like, this hurts my feelings,
right?
It's like the literal ostrich head in the sand, just you don't know what's going on at all, but you wanted to say something and that's not the right way to do it.
Yeah.
So you're super asleep because you're just sitting there and like in your nice little privileged place, you know, rich girl chilling with some Starbucks, whatever you do. And out of nowhere, like, oh, this isn't good. Like, you should change something about that. Yeah, obviously. But you're literally missing all the points of what's going on. You don't know what's going on. You try, which I will give you, you know, okay, cool, you tried, but you failed miserably. It's like Win Butler. You tried, you fucked up, I'm going to yell at you because you didn't messed up. And she, like, the whole year of this was her just saying, hell, this is like... I want to try something and engage more people. What the hell? You have no idea what you're talking about.
Right.
You really don't. You're not talking about... Wow, this might... Because this is a sleep award. You're not talking about just the geopolitical aspects of what's going on in the world at all. Like, you're just saying, oh, he's bad. What? Who's bad? What's bad? What's going on? Why?
Let me expand on that and then give my award.
How about it? Roger Waters is the same damn
what
thing.
What Lana Del Rey... should have realized is her own position, and that she should do more of, like, a listening thing, because, truthfully, the bad things that are happening in the world under, like, whoever, and under the people who are in power right now, not just Trump, but, like, in general, across the world.
No, you have no idea what's going on in Burma right now.
As a rich, celebrity, white woman, you are very, very far away from the mix in that. Okay? And that doesn't mean I don't want you in the conversation, but that means that your role in the conversation is a very secondary one.
Yes.
Your role should be maybe, you know what? I wouldn't mind if Lana Del Rey and SZA worked together and
that
maybe, like, talked to each other.
Dope.
And
I'd be super
came together
down.
For an intersectional feminist kind of view on things. And that way, like, Lana can sort of, like, actually learn what she's talking about. and then like you can have some type of collaboration there. So the reason I'm not giving Lana Del Rey the awards, because like she's bad, but she can do better, and I think she can do better.
Yeah.
I'm giving it to Taylor Swift because she had the opportunity to do better and she fucking failed.
I wanted to give it to her, but I don't want to mention her on the podcast, so bye.
You're right, yeah. Like, I didn't want to mention her. I hate giving her airtime right now, but, like, the fact is that...
That's the only reason why I didn't give her anything, because I don't want to give her an award, even if it's bad.
Taylor Swift, at the same time, tried to make commentary on feminism and Donald Trump while making her artist and her, like, her artistry and her persona this time around about how the media misrepresents her.
Yeah.
And she
needs to just stop.
I'm not saying the media is perfect. I know my bias of being in the media. I'm not saying the media is perfect. But we're going to look back on this, and we're going to look at all these, like, fickle, low media attacks. Like, not substantive media attacks. Like, you got this story wrong, or you're not reporting this as you should be. But these, like, oh, you're talking about me unfairly. Like, people in power complaining about being covered poorly in the media is sleep as fuck.
Yes.
And that's what Taylor Swift did. And it's especially bad because people in power complaining about how the media plays against them is undermining our society. And to be a musician and turn that into your musical project, fuck you. I would say more, but people are getting thrown out left and right for things they say online, so I'm not gonna shut up. No politics. Biggest disappointment.
Which is the sounds the fucking same award. We have Weezer, Killers, Foo Fighters, Foster the People, and Arcade Fire.
I just talked a lot, so. What was your biggest disappointment of the year?
And we need to speed it up anyways.
Absolutely,
too.
Yeah.
So, well, we got through our ones that would take the longest. So, Foster the People, by far, because they did the epitome of the Trap Snare 2017 of alternative music, where Foster the People made some damn good music before, kind of hipstery, but experimental, different, folky, awesome. And then this year, they just, like, I remember this coming home from training from the pool and putting on the radio, and I hear, oh, what the hell? This is bad, but okay, cool. Maybe it's a new artist or whatever. No, Foster People go, what the fuck? And then the whole album was that, or EP, whatever it was.
Right.
And I was so unbelievably disappointed because I was looking forward to it. Foo Fighters was a close second, but Foster People, by far. I really liked Torches was their album of 2011. It was really, really good. Such a good album. And this one just... I hated it. It was awful.
Super, yeah, you were really
mainstream.
Burned by that.
I know it really made me sad, like legit for a bit. I go, that, wow, like how do you do this to me, guys? So, and then we made a podcast.
For that, I was never as in the Foster the People as you are, and so this is definitely like a personal kind of award, because what was disappointing to you? Easily for me, that was Arcade Fire, because Arcade Fire hasn't been perfect, but their last album, Reflector, was pretty great. And I had no other reason to think that they wouldn't, like, continue making great songs. Remember, Everything Now was co-produced with Daft Punk. Infinite Content was, like, kind of a decent song. Creature Comfort was amazing. But, like, I just named the only three songs really worth listening to on the album. Everything else was just a real letdown. Especially when I even said, like, this could be the album that kind of captures life in 2017 better than any other album written. And I thought that Arcade Fire could really do that, and they didn't even come close. It's a sad day. This is the fun part. We're rounding out the end, and so these are our most important awards, I would say. Song of the Year. Nominations. Redbone by Childish Gambino. The Story of OJ by Jay-Z. Humble by Kendrick Lamar, Strobe Light by Gorillaz, Yeah Right by Vince Staples, and Tutti Frutti by Phoenix. So these are a mix of our favorite songs and like some of the best songs in general of the year. Sean, have a take.
Don't suck. Strobe Light, Gorillaz.
That's bold.
Because it's a fucking good song. I listen to it on repeat all the time, seen it live, seen it, or hearing it on the recording, everything. Perfect. Good, the best song of the year by far. I was very disappointed with the album, but that song, when it came right after Ascension with Vince.
From Young Vince Staples.
Holy shit, that's good. And then, yeah, that's it. I mean, I can't physically talk much anymore because it's starting to really hurt, and I gotta leave in 10 minutes. But yeah, anyways, that's why I'm like, we got a quick fast.
Yeah, for sure.
For the people to know.
Yeah, I song of the year. It depends on what I'm basing it off of. Am I basing it off of what was really like the best song of the year, full stop, versus what did I like the most? And I'm gonna base it off of like what was the best song of the year, full stop. And because of that, I have to go with Humble. Honestly, yes, it was the most mainstream, overplayed ass remixed into every single DJ's track song of the year, but it was also a damn good song from a damn good artist who has always kept it real. And like lyrically, it was just like really good. Do I think it's a bit overrated? Yes, but like just a bit. Usually when I say things are overrated, it's vast, but I think this is not really. And so of all of these songs that, yes, I really love, I think Song of the Year has to go to Humble. And my vote obviously means more than yours, so there's that. That's what we chose.
Cool.
Nope. Album of the Year. Awaken My Love, Childish Gambino, 444 Jay-Z, Damn, Kendrick Lamar, Melodrama by Lorde, and The Horrors 5. I'm picking based off of what was the best as a complete work album. And that deletes a lot for me from this, but what do you think?
Horrors 5, by far. Every song was good. There was no little interludes, nothing. It was straight song after song after song after song. Very, very good. I loved all of it. And they tried something different, as I've always been yelling at people, and it worked. It was a brilliant album. They mixed in sounds that I haven't heard of in 10 years, and they made them better. They added more electronic components that I thought you could do, but nobody tried it, and added that. Put some stuff that almost sounded like Roosevelt mixed in with Radiohead, mixed in with, I don't know, the Smiths. It's just like, but it's totally different, their own sound. It's so good. Out of the air.
I agree.
Yeah.
Like, you said it all.
Literally.
I'm like, sorry this is anticlimactic, but album of the year, from our perspective, yeah, The Horrors. You killed it. Great job. 5. let me go through.
Last two.
Let me go through my picks and honorable mentions. I kind of went through this throughout the whole episode.
Yeah, we just go through.
But it's an album by 21 Savage. I'm eating my own words. I thought 21 Savage was just nothing, but of trap, he is one of the rising stars, one of the best of the category. I hope he's able to not fall into the traps of the genre that it goes. Of the genre that are going on right now, I think that by creating music too often and constantly coming with these collaborations, you can kind of weaken your sound. And I want 21 Savage to kind of do what Ray Shrummer, a couple other artists in the genre are doing, and trying to push trap forward a little bit.
I'm gonna delete the chairman mentions because it's literally the same as mine.
Makes sense.
I'm like, wait, why did I put this twice?
That's gonna make no sense compared to the rest for everyone else. But anyways, another thing. So yeah, Ray Shrummer, Perplexing Pegasus. I can't wait for Ray Shrummer stuff in 2018 because I think they are going to be the boost that trap needs. They're kind of one of the pioneers to make it mainstream, and so I can't wait to see what they come out with. Without warning, yeah, we're gonna have takes on how we feel about trap collabs. I mostly hate them, but Without Warning was probably the best one of the year.
It definitely.
Everyone loves Ghostface Killahs. I personally love My Choppa Hates Niggas. That's my favorite. Culture by Migos. Migos really blew up this year, and they're fine. They're great. They're talented, but I just think they're a bit overrated. Personally, that's just me, but I still want to mention that they're great. I kind of already did mention Kygo as being awesome, but I also want to, while we're in electronic music, Black Tiger Sex Machine. I only saw them live this year, and I saw them live twice.
Pretty good.
But they know how to throw down. They know how to do a good show, and I haven't felt this excited about an electronic artist, honestly, since Daft Punk. I think they're going to make more music. It's going to be great. Mm-hmm. It's going to be banging. Mm-hmm. We might be able to convince Sean to go to an electronic music concert if they come around.
Oh, I mean, I've been to one before, so I'm down.
To go to, like, a hypey-typey EDM one for BTSM. And, like, Gorillaz, yeah, they kind of dropped the ball this year, but not live.
Not live. Not live. It was so good.
Not live. I saw them twice back-to-back, and that's partially my bias, but that's also, like, Gorillaz is a live experience. There are very few artists that when they perform, they give you a live experience, and Gorillaz is one of those. They did that. And so, yeah, those are my picks. I'll have closing thoughts about it afterwards, but Sean, what's your things that we didn't mention?
So I have my bog standard award, which is the stuff that's bog standard. U2, first half of the album was crap, second half of the album really, really good. I mean, I already mentioned this in the podcast before, which you can listen to. LCD Sound System, they had three amazing songs in that album. The rest was bog standard, was kind of whatever. Arcade Fire, just because their whole marketing system was so bad. Like, what the hell are you doing? The album itself was pretty cool. I like the whole idea, but it's bog standard. Incubus 8, I really did enjoy it, but they didn't push the boundaries like I wanted them to do. But, I mean, I thoroughly enjoy the album, and I listen to it a lot. Fuckboy et Moi, also known as Tor et Moi.
Yeah.
Which I really like.
Mr. Berkeley.
Mr. Berkeley. Most Berkeley album, like, covers always. Never disappoints. He just sounds like a fuckboy on two of the songs. The album itself actually is pretty good. Like, there's a couple, like, Labyrinth, it's a dope song. But it's like, you just turn into a massive fuckboy. So those are my bog standard awards. And then my honorable, Chairman Mao, honorable mentions. Sigur Rós Live, that was one of the most amazing musical experiences I've ever had with the LA Philharmonic. And then Radiohead Live, when we finally
to
see Radiohead in Berkeley.
Right before Audioface really started.
I literally cried when they played My Iron Lung. Those are the two best musical experiences I've ever had, and those get my honorable mentions.
And those were both this year.
In April, on the same weekend, and I like dead.
That was great.
Gorilla's Life 2 gets an honorable mention, but those, like, hats off to Sigur Rós and Radiohead. They are ridiculously good live. And next year, I'm planning to see the 1975 live. That's like my goal next year, is I need to see them live, especially because they're releasing Music for Cars early next year. So yeah. We are hella reviewing that on Audioface.
But. Yeah. All in all, 2017, good year for music. Could have been better in other aspects, but I mean, it's been a lot better than like the first half of this decade, honestly.
Yes.
So, I mean, I'm happy with it. Thank you for joining me and toughing with your voice to these awards for the people. Thank you again, people listening, for listening to us. Let us know what you think. Let us know what you want us to do more of next year. We're going to have... We don't suck. We're awesome. Please.
Our network. Fuck it. We're awesome.
Right? Don't forget to check out, speaking of our network, the We Made It podcast. Caesar and Bam talking about their own... They're doing their own music awards. They're going to talk about Trap. It's probably not going to be great, but, you know, check it out anyways. On Syndicate 23, wemadeit.syndicate23.co. Follow me on Twitter at Dan from the Web and on Instagram at Dan from the Internet. And at Sean, you are at...
SW Suarez on everything.
Yes.
Everything now.
For some reason, you're going to take an ibuprofen and go play hockey.
Because I'm insane. Well, I feel normal, but I can't talk. It's because I could feel it swelling up again. I'm going to take like 8 ibuprofen and then play hockey for like an hour and then go to sleep and watch Phantom Thread.
We're seeing Phantom Thread. So
that's what we talk about next week.
Guess what? All these other podcasts out there, they're taking, we're taking holiday breaks. Well, guess what? We have no family. So we're going to be... No, we're still gonna be doing a couple podcasts next week, maybe a little bit more. But
always.
Yeah, because music doesn't stop. We don't sleep. Thank you for listening, and we will see y'all next week. Bye. Cheers.